I thank the Lord tonight for this inspiration the Lord gave me. I'd like to share some words to the song first about being on the winning side. And, you know, we really are, as Christians, we are on the winning side. We're on the right side. And even in the judgment day, you know, we're on the right side. So I just thank the Lord for that, that we can be on the winning side, but we always need to realize that we have to do that with Jesus, that we can't do it on our own. Because on our own, we just cannot do it. We need the help of God. And I do want to thank the Lord for, as Thanksgiving's approaching, I was thinking that salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. It is the greatest thing. And I'm so thankful for salvation. And I know all of you are, that the miracle that Brother Jim mentioned, that was the greatest miracle, is when the Lord saved us. How many years ago it was. And, you know, whenever it was the greatest thing that the Lord ever did for us. And we can keep saved. And tonight I just want to encourage you to stay on the winning side and stay there to the end. And the song we sang, I'm waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. That, to some people, might think that's kind of strange. But, you know, we all want to live. But yet we realize that someday it's time to go. And when it is, God will help us to be ready, and he can help us to endure until the very end and be saved for eternity. And so I'm looking forward to that time. I really am looking forward to the time when I actually see Jesus and the angels and everything. When our faith is lost in sight. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm not scared about that at all. I'm anticipating that, like the song. But anyway, I wanted to read a little bit about this psalm. The Holy Spirit gave this to me. Along the way of life are many foes that daily war against my soul, but constant victory my Savior gives to me as I press on to the goal. On the winning side, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side with Jesus. Though hot may be the fray, my soul can boldly say, I'm on the winning side with Jesus. A multitude of warriors of the cross in serried ranks do bravely fight. They never shall retreat nor ever know defeat. They are winning for the right. With courage in my soul, I'll do my part. For Jesus, I will loyal stand. So on the winning side, triumphant I abide with the faithful holy band. This word serried ranks, I thought, what exactly does that mean, serried ranks? S-E-R-R-I-E-D. I looked that up. It said pressed, crowded together. Now, myself, I never really like to be in crowds. I mean, crowds when they're pressing you, like maybe at an airport or something like that, you know, you're familiar. Sometimes you're pushed and shoved and you're in a crowd. But this crowd, I do want to be in. I want to be in this crowd of soldiers, Christian soldiers. It said pressed, crowded together in rows, jam-packed, close together. There's something in this, placed close together. You know, we're soldiers for Jesus. We're soldiers of the cross. And everything we can do to encourage one another is a good thing, right? It's a good thing. And everything we can do to stay in ranks and stay close together and press, serried ranks do bravely fight. You know, there wouldn't be much of an army. You just think about an army. If they were all scattered around in a big field, maybe they're going to fight the enemy. If they weren't, but when they get close together, see, when they get close together in the ranks, they can bravely fight. And it gives us some kind of courage when we get close together. It gives us a courage to press forward. And I've been traveling, and I was so excited, really, to get back to my church family. To be there because you're my church family. I have family and I love my family. And I have appreciate every one of them. I love them so much. And I thank God for them. But I thank God for my spiritual family. God has given us a great blessing to be able to be together in serried rank. Don't ever forget that. Close, fighting this warfare together. We're fighting in the army of the Lord. And there's a song that says, stand by the cross, soldiers, stand. Victory will come by and by. Stand by the cross, soldiers, stand. And we'll conquer though we die. So there's nothing in this world that can keep us from being victorious. We can be victorious and we must be victorious. And I read something earlier when I was reading this. It said, we have got to want to win so much that we're scared to lose. You know, we got to be scared to lose because we can't afford to lose. We can't afford to lose. We don't want to go to hell. We don't want the devil to take advantage of us. And we don't have to even go there. We don't have to. In our temptations, we can be more than a conqueror. The devil, he's tempted me. But you know what? He doesn't get me to yield to them because I know the voice of the Lord. We know the voice of the Lord. He's the good shepherd. It said, my sheep hear my voice, and no other will they follow. You know, we have a mind where the devil talks to us and Jesus talks to us. And we got to recognize when it's the enemy, we don't want to talk to him. And we want to hear Jesus' voice. I am the good shepherd. And, you know, he knows his sheep. And I was reading about how, you know, this man went out with a shepherd and there was a big flock of sheep. And he says, I know every one of my sheep. He said, how can you know those sheep when they all look the same? To that man, they all look the same, but to the shepherd, they look different. He said, well, this one sheep, he has just a little spot on him. Or this other sheep has a little hair missing somewhere. Or this other one kind of bends over a little bit. Everyone had a characteristic or a different thing about him that the shepherd, this was a real shepherd, he knew his sheep. But it doesn't seem Jesus knows us like that. We're just not, well, we're one of the sheep, but he knows every one of us individually. He recognizes us. I know my sheep, and they hear my voice. And you know, he goes after and he takes care of us. And then also he says, I leave the 99 and I go after that one that was lost. Do you know he loves everyone that backslides, everyone that gives up on God? And we love them too. We want them to come home. We want them to get on the winning side again. We want them to be victorious. I know sometimes when I pray with different ones and they tell me they're having a little battle. And first thing I'll say, are you reading and praying? One of the first things I say, are you reading and praying? You know, we can't get close to the Lord if we don't read and pray. I have to read and pray. We have to read and pray. We have to talk to Jesus like our friend. The more we read and pray, the better off we are. I believe that. Do you believe that? And, you know, it don't always have to be on your knees, but it can be driving a car. It can be while you're working on something. You know, there was a little meeting one time, and it says pray without ceasing. And there was these ministers got together, and there was, I might not tell exactly, it was something like that. And they said, how can we do that? How can we obey that scripture, pray without ceasing? And this little lady says, well, you know, when I'm sweeping the floor, I think about how Jesus just swept all my sins away. Or I'm mopping the floor, he washed me whiter than snow. I mean, we can incorporate Jesus into our daily lives where we're thinking about him all the time. I mean, he just lives in us. And we have a song that says, Jesus lives in me. He lives in me. You know, he lives in me. He talks to me. He's with me. He's my friend. And you know what? God has control. He has control of us. He has control of this world. Don't worry about it so much. God has control of America. God hasn't turned his back on us. God's watching it all. If we knew all his plans, we don't know God's plans like God does. Our job is to pray. Our job is to pray. I tell my husband sometimes, honey, there's lots of things we can't do, but one thing we can do is pray. So cast your cares on him about America. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders. But you know what? God has control. He has control of us. He has control of our lives. I am amazed at sometimes how God works in our life, how he answers our prayers, how he does miracles for us. The older you get, you can look back and you can remember how his wide arms of mercy held me, how many times he answered our prayers. This song was written by Charles W. Naylor. He was born in Ohio and he was raised in West Virginia from his grandparents, that touches me because I was born in Virginia and I have a lot of family in West Virginia. But you know, I didn't realize that he died in 1950, okay? So he's closer to us. Sometimes we think these ministers like way back in the 1800s. Well, he was born then in 1800s, but he was 76 years old when he died. He died in 1950. He wrote this song. And you know, you heard how he was hurt in Florida in a tent, meaning some lumber fell on him and hurt him. He dislocated his kidney and had internal injuries. But I never really realized this till I was reading this, that right after that, or not soon after that, I'm not exactly just when, but he also had a bus accident. And that made him an invalid for the rest of his life. But you know what? He kept on the winning side. He didn't let that get him discouraged. He had to be in bed. He had to be home all the time. But you know what? He wrote 8 books. He wrote articles. He wrote pamphlets. He wrote songs. He wrote books. He let his spiritual life just keep going and going and going. He didn't let that hinder him because he was an invalid. Do you know when we have God in us, we don't have to stop being on the winning side. We can produce fruit in our old age. We can produce it. We can continually, we don't have to let nothing hinder us. You know, there's been teenagers that have wrote beautiful songs and hymns. 16 years old, I remember what song that was right now, but he was 16 years old when he wrote it. And I'll try to find it later and share it with you. Just came to my mind. But we can be spiritual when we're teenagers. We can be spiritual when we're middle age. We can be spiritual in our old age. We don't have to stop. We don't have to let it get old. We can be on the winning side. We don't have to think we're getting old and we're going to just quit. We're going to give up or we're not going to work as hard. We can cause ourselves to choose to work for the Lord some way. That's what Brother Naylor did. He didn't let that hinder him. He didn't get bitter over it. He kept on the winning side. Don't let things in life get you bitter. Don't let people die and sometimes they lose their loved ones and they get bitter over. Don't let that happen to you. Keep on the winning side. God has a purpose. God has a reason. We must believe that he has control. Like was mentioned, Brother Philip said about the man. God told him he was going to die and he was young. He went to visit his family and then he died. I remember Brother Stanley having a meeting with us in there and he told us he had dreams. And God told him he was going to die. Remember that? And he set the church in order and did his very best. But you know what I mean? It's amazing how God talks to his people. And he hasn't told you you're going to die, then you're going to live. And you work for the Lord. You work for the Lord. Don't give up. Keep working for the Lord. Praise God. But this man inspires me. And there's many others, like Fanny Crosby, like we heard this morning. She was blind, but she wrote songs. And out of that internal inside of her, you know, she wasn't maybe tempted so much with everything that we see in our eyes and stuff that she could do. But she was so, excuse me. I have a water bottle over there. Someone wants to get it for me. Thank you, Sister Rosie. You know, that's what she was so internally inside. She was so connected with God. That's why she kept producing all these songs. But you know, saints, we have to stir up ourselves. We have to stir ourselves spiritually. We can never pray enough. We can never pray enough. We can always pray more. We can never think we're spiritual enough. We can always be closer to the Lord. We can always work at it. This is something that we never quit doing. God, just be on the winning side. Be a conqueror. Don't let anything stop you. Be faithful to God. Say, I'm determined. I'm going to make heaven my home. Praise the Lord. Be encouraged. Ask the Lord to talk to you. You know, I do this. Lord, talk to me. And, you know, I go through dry times sometimes. I pray and I don't feel anything. Have you do that? You pray, you just don't feel it. You read the Bible, you don't really feel anything. But you just keep doing it, and you keep doing it. And one of these days, like last night, what happened to me was the Lord said, why didn't you go in there and really pray? I said, I want to do that, Lord. I want to go in there and really pray. And when I got down on my knees, it was almost automatically. The Spirit of God met me. I started crying. I weeping. And, you know, I like to cry and pray sometimes. I just like to get, and when that happens to me, I just want to try to remember everything that really needs to be prayed for, because I know God is working. I know he's always working. We don't go by feelings, but sometimes it's nice to get feelings once in a while. But, you know, God is always there. And sometimes when we don't feel him, just like that one thing about the steps in the sand. How come there was only two, when the hardest parts of my life, there was only two footprints in the sand? It's because I carried you, my child. I carried you. So don't ever get discouraged when you don't feel anything. Just keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep telling the Lord, Lord, I don't feel anything. I might not feel that I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. I might not feel that I'm full of the Holy Spirit, but I know I am. I have read in these old books. I have a lot of old books at home and young, newer books too, spiritual books. But you know, they would tell how, Brother Werner would say, sometimes when he got up to preach, he didn't feel anything. Didn't feel anything. He was tired out. He worked a lot for the Lord. He traveled a lot. And he said he didn't feel anything, but he said he knew, he claimed in his heart, in his soul, I am full of the Holy Ghost. I am full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I don't know if I should tell you all of this, but I'm going to tell you. I think it's okay. But I was in Tulsa back in October sometime. I got up to preach, and that morning, I don't know, I drank a little carrot juice, but I had no food. I had no protein. I don't know if that's what it was, and my sugar went low. But I got behind the pulpit, and I felt like I was going to faint right on the floor. I hadn't even started hardly. And I said, saints, pray for me. I feel like I'm just going to faint. That's never happened to me. But you know, Sister Trish came up trying to help me, and I just thought, I've got to press through this. I've got a job to do. And I asked the Lord, and I drank some water, and God helped me and healed me behind the pulpit. He healed me so I could do the job. But you know, we have to press against things. I could have just took my Bible and said, you know, just somebody else preach it. I just can't do this. But you know, I just thought, I read about all these other ministers. Sometimes some of the older ministers, they respected so much, they would carry him up to the pulpit and put him in a chair and have them preach. Or some of them would be so sick, so deathly sick with pneumonia, or I don't know what they had, just terrible sickness. It might not have been pneumonia when they went to the church. I don't know, but they were terribly sick, but they get in the pulpit and they start preaching, and God would heal them. God would heal them right there, and they were able to preach. And they had to press against these things. We have to press to testify. Sometimes you don't feel like testifying. You don't even know what you're going to say. But you know, God says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So you got to do it, dear ones. You got to do it. You got to press against these things. You got to get on the winning side. Everybody can read a scripture. Everybody can read a song. You know, we've always got something to thank God for. You know, it doesn't have to be a real long testimony, but we can say, I'm still saved. We can defeat the enemy. We must defeat him. We must keep on the winning side. You know, Paul instructed us a lot in the Bible about just keeping on the winning side. But before I get to that, I want to read over it in Isaiah 41. I am really encouraged tonight to keep on the winning side. I didn't start this long journey of living for the Lord to give up. No. No. I have no desire to give up. I have no temptation to give up. I want to live for the Lord. I want to be faithful to the end. I'm going to be on the winning side. I'm going to see Jesus when I die. I'm going to see the angels. I'm anticipating this wonderful home in heaven someday. Praise God. Glory to God. I am excited about it. Yes, I love my life. I love my family. I love the church family. I love my children. I have a wonderful life. But you know what? I'm going to have a home in heaven that's greater than anything I've seen down here. Greater joy than I've ever had. I know. I believe in my heart. There's going to be something waiting that's so wonderful, so beyond anything we could think of. I remember one time I had a dream, and I believe, I know God gave me that dream. And I was going through something hard. Someone died, and I was going through something hard. And that night, I had a dream. And the Lord, I had a ladder, and I was climbing the ladder, and he reached down his right hand and took my hand, and he said, "Are you all right?" I heard a voice say, "Are you all right?" And when I got up to the top of the ladder, I was in heaven. And I said, "Yes, I am now." Do you know God doesn't love me any more than he loves you? He gives you things. He gives you revelations. He talks to his sheep. He encourages you. I know he does. I know he loves you. He gives you, we have different experiences, but God is watching over his children. And he will not fail you. He will not fail you now. When we were in Oklahoma City, we first moved there, they would sing that song a lot. "He will not fail me now." You know, it said, when Satan tried to tempt me sore, he did not fail me then. But Jesus kept me on the upward track, and he will not fail me now. Oh, praise God. There's lots of verses in that song. We used to sing it a lot in Oklahoma City. "He will not fail me now." I remember Sister Souter sitting up front there, and Sister Opal Kelly. Thank God for a memory. Thank God. This is Thanksgiving. Thank God for a good memory. That you can remember these old saints that lived and died. And they were so encouragement to me. And Brother Souters and Brother Ed and Sister Roberta were up there. We had good services. Sister Marcia White was alive. She was my friend. I love Sister Marcia White. I went to her house when she was dying. You know what she said to me? We sat on the couch. She hadn't got bedridden yet. And I took her out to lunch. But her mind was all on the Lord. Just all on the Lord and knowing she's going to go to heaven. And she was kind of, if you knew Sister Marcia White, she was a little bit witty. What I mean by, like kind of laughy witty, you know. And she kind of nudged me with her elbow and she goes, "I get to go to heaven before you do." That was her. That was her. But we had our names are alike, except she spelled hers M-A-R-C-I-A. And she had one sister, and her name was Debbie. My sister's Debbie. And we came, you know what the saints say, you came out of the world. Oh, we came out of the world, okay. We came out of the world. We weren't born among the saints. But praise God, we had a lot of kindred things alike, you know. I love her. She's buried out there with the saints, and she's near. Actually, she's near our grape plot, really. Tell you, I know it seems kind of funny when we say these things. But you know, when you have an anticipation of heaven, you're not afraid of that. When they were doing, my husband wanted to do that tombstone. I said, they wanted something written on it. I was praying. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to write on it. Could you give me something?" I got my Bible promise box, and it says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." So if you see that on my tombstone, you know the Lord gave it to me. And praise God, because Jesus lives, I will live also eternally, forever and ever. Praise God. Don't say, "I'm dead. My body will be there but for a while until Jesus gives me an immortal body, but I'm going to heaven." One day I was sitting at home and I was saying, a lot of saints was dying around here. It was when Brother Delmer died and some different ones. And I was just saying, "Lord, it just seemed like they're dying." And it seemed like they should just keep living. And it's kind of sad. And I was talking to the Lord about it. You know what he said to me? "They're not dead. They can't die. You can't die. Your spirit and soul is immortal. It's immortal. It can't die." You got that? You got that? We can't die inside. Our spirit, our soul cannot die because it was created for eternity. Praise God. And that's why you got to take care of it. You got to take care of the inner man, the inner soul. has to get fed by the Word of God and prayer. You got to take care of that inside, because you want to live forever and ever and ever. And I tell you what, I miss Sister Juanita too. I talked to Jillian about her. She says, I remember my grandma. I remember her fixing nice meals for us on Sunday. Sometimes they went out, but sometimes she felt like cooking. And she has those good memories. And I was with one of the ones when I was with her at the inn. And I tell you, I love her. And she told me she loved me. And I witnessed that night, and I hope I'm not hurting no one's feelings, but it's amazing how I fell asleep in the recliner not far from her, and the Lord woke me up about 5:30 or somewhere in there and says, she's gone. I know it was God. And I was kind of half asleep, and I kind of laid, you know how you kind of, and the Lord said it again, she's gone. Get up. You need to get up. She's gone. So I got up. And I turned on the kitchen light, and she was gone. I didn't want to wake the rest of them up because they'd been up a lot. But that was a precious time that she went into heaven with Jesus. You know, God brings these things to my mind because he said, that's what's going to happen to you someday. You need to stay on the winning side. You need to be saved always, forever and ever and ever. And I said, yes, Lord, I am yours. I made a covenant with God. You know, when I first got saved, I don't know if I should have done this, but it was okay. Brother Warner, he wrote a covenant in the Birth of Reformation. He wrote a covenant to God. So I kind of copied him. Not exactly. But I thought, I'm going to write a covenant with God. I'm going to tell God, and I wrote it too. I wrote how much I loved him, and I made a promise. God, I'm yours. I'm giving you my life forever. I make a covenant with you. You know, we can make a covenant with God that we will stay on the winning side, that we'll stay encouraged, we'll be his forever. God wants you to make a covenant with him. As no matter what happens in my life, Lord, no matter what happens, I am your child. I will promise I will be yours by your grace, not by my grace. I enter this covenant. I don't enter this just, you know, writing a few words. I meant them from my heart. You got to mean this from your heart. I will not live for the devil. I will not have any part with the devil. I want to live for Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I choose, like that song says, with courage. In my soul, I'll do my part. You know, we all have a little part in the church. But we got to do it. We got to do that part. We are special to God. Every one of us is special. For Jesus, I will loyal stand. I will loyal stand. Be loyal. You want to have a loyal friend? Sister Rosie, you want to have a loyal friend? That's the kind of friends we want, isn't it? Loyalty. Loyalty. There's nothing like having a loyal friend. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to embarrass Sister Janine. But when I was getting out of my car, Sister Janine was standing there. I said, oh, I love Janine. She's my friend. And I said, just seeing you encourages me. Isn't that wonderful? Just seeing the saints encourages you. Don't that happen to you? And maybe you haven't seen them for a while. And you might not even, we get ready to have our meeting and they come in. And maybe they're across the room. Maybe you don't get to say hi right away, but just looking over there and seeing them encourages your soul. That's right. Paul said, the people that came to him and brought him things, he said, it was such a blessing to him. And remember one of the scriptures, I don't have it just now, but he said, it was in the winter time. He said, when you come to me, bring the parchments, bring my winter coat, bring all these things to me. He says, and you know, bring them to me. And you know, yes, we talk about Paul and all his troubles and all his problems, but he had some good things in his life too. He had some precious friends, saints that were precious friends that stood by him to the end. They risked their lives. Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for Paul. Yes. There's a man and wife team that worked for the Lord, ministers, and they risked their life for Paul. He had some dear close friends. I've had some dear close friends in my life and still have some. But the dearest friend I have is Jesus. He's never let me down. He's never, never let me get discouraged. If I was tempted to get discouraged, he lifted me up. That song says, he lifts me up that I can walk on water. I don't know if it's, but you see, he lifts me up above the stormy seas. Praise God. Peter, he walked on water. He walked on water when he kept his eyes on the Lord, Jesus Christ. If we must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we keep our eyes on him, we can walk on water, spiritual water. We're just floating spiritually, just floating above the problems and troubles. It's amazing. Some of the things I went through, I don't know how I've done it, but God just lifted me up that I could walk on water. And Peter, he was okay until he started looking around. And that's just like we started looking around and letting the devil talk to us and troubles and problems. We start looking at them, and then we'll go sinking in the water. But we don't have to do that. We can be on the winning side. We can walk on water. And I know what I'm trying to say. I've never walked on real water. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say. But spiritual water, this in us, let me read the scripture in Isaiah. This is so wonderful. It says in the 41st verse, well, let's read the 31 of 42. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. No fainting in God's army. There's no fainting. Okay? It's terrible to feel like you're going to faint. Let me tell you. I don't like it. And I don't know if I've ever fainted. I've came close to it. I might have in my life. I don't know. But it's no fun. You don't want to faint. But you don't have to faint. You don't have to get weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this says in the 10th verse, fear not. Thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Praise God tonight. I have a God. You have a God that's with you. You can be on the winning side. You can stay on the winning side. Fear thou not, I am with thee. For be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. I'm going to uphold you. And it says in the 17th verse, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Praise God. I'm just thinking about all the miracles in my life. So many miracles. So many things that God has done. Oh, in Michigan, we wanted to come and be with the saints years and years ago. Years when Jerry had a factory job, way back in Michigan. We didn't have the cash to come to Oklahoma. And God sent us an envelope full of cash, not a check, full of cash. How it got through the mail, I don't know, except the miracle of God. A miracle of God. And we had no cell phone, no way I could reach Jerry. I guess I could have called the factory, but they might not let me talk to him. But anyway, I waited until he got home, and I said, honey, here's the money to go to Oklahoma. Because he said, we cannot go. I don't have the money, and I can't get off work. I said, here's the money. Now you go ask the man to get off work. You will get off work. And the man says, oh, your daddy sent you that money. He told the man, no, my daddy didn't see him. I asked him. My daddy did not send it. The man just could not hardly believe. And he said, go. Just go. He really didn't want him to go, but he let go of him. You know, God can cause people to let go of you and give you freedom to worship the Lord. And I got so happy when I got down here, and I was telling the saints in the old chapel over there, God has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And Brother Willie Murphy's daddy, Brother Wayne Murphy, daddy, Brother Willie, the older man that was a preacher, he came up to me, and he shook my hand, and he laughed and laughed. He didn't know who I was. They was all wondering who I was, where I came from. But you know what? He says, thank the Lord. God has a cattle on 1,000 hills. He just loved it. He loved it. He loved it. Praise the Lord. I love them. They all love me. They got to know me, you know. But praise God. Through that, Brother Satter says, you children, we were pretty young. Our children were real young. And it was back in the 70s sometime. He says, you need to get on the tape line. Would you like us to mail you? Back then, we had these cassette tapes, and they mailed them in a little paper, like a paper bag, taped up and masking tape. That's how we worked. But, you know, it worked. And they mailed them to me. I listened to them. I mailed them on. Praise God. We've advanced in technology. But glory be to God. He can feed your soul. He can work something out so you can keep on the winning side. That's what he wanted. He wanted us to keep on the winning side, even though we were isolated for a while. So I thank the Lord. I will open rivers in high places and the dry land springs of water. Did you know that there's a well in you springing up into everlasting life? It's a water well. It's a well that never runs dry. Never runs dry. And Brother Satter says, tell me not that God lives in your desert, because I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. There's no desert with God. He gives you such water and happiness, and you're overflowing with this well of water inside. It just overflows. Don't it, Sister Connie? It overflows. It never stops. You get older, it's not stopped. It's still there. It's still young. It's still fresh. It's still inside me. Praise God, it's still the same Holy Spirit. It's still working. It's still giving me waters, well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's just going to spring right up into everlasting life. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight. We can be on the winning side. You know, in St. John 4, I'm going to read just a little bit. You know what he said to the woman? He said, I've got something. He said, in the 13th verse, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Remember the woman at the well. She met Jesus. He said, you can drink this water. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I do need water. But you can drink this water. And you know what? You'll be thirsty again. You'll be thirsty later. You'll be thirsty tomorrow. It's wonderful. I love water. Water's the best thing for you to drink. Water. That's right. Don't need that old pop. You can drink pop if you want to. But don't need it. Excuse me. But it's not very healthy. And I tell you what, once in a while, I might drink just a little sip of holidays or something. They might have it in the punch or something like that. I'm not ridiculous about it. But I don't drink pop normally ever. I just drink water. Mostly water. Water's the best for us. But you know, we got a spiritual well here. He said, you can drink this water, you're thirsty again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what? I used to think when I testified or preach or whatever, that when I first got saved, I thought that the Holy Spirit had to come upon me, you know, and give me inspiration upon me somehow, like from heaven. And one day I was praying that way, Lord, send it down from heaven. And the Lord says, it is in you. It is in you. Quit thinking that way. The Holy Spirit is in you. You can pray to the Holy Spirit to inspire you, but it never leaves you. It's always in you. Yes, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can inspire us, but the Holy Spirit lives in us. We need to be sanctified with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit in us. In us. The Holy Spirit is what's kept me on the winning side. I tell you what, I need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. But praise God. This woman says, he said, I will give you water. It shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's Jesus' words in red. Praise God. His words in red. That's wonderful water. Wonderful water. Oh, I love the water. Philippians 3:13. You know, the Lord, Paul talked a lot about races. I know you're in a race, you're in a race. We're in a race to make it to heaven, and we can be on the winning side. And everybody can win in this race. Everybody that wants to win in here can win. We don't have to have just one win. We can all win. We can all win. We can all make it to heaven. We can all be encouraged. Praise God. And it says in Philippians 3 and 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't made it to heaven yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." How many times does the devil try to bring you the past that's not a good memory? Cast it away. Cast it away in the name of Jesus. I don't have to listen to the past awful memories. I want the good memories. I'll take them. But I don't want to listen to the bad memories. Because it says here, forgetting those things which are behind, I press, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm pressing for, that prize, that wonderful prize of heaven. That's what we're pressing for. That's what we want, the wonderful prize of heaven. Praise God. That's what we want. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the Lord just able to help us. Help us. Like I said, we have to press about praying and reading. Praying and reading. Pray and read your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. Make a challenge. No matter what I do today, I will read my Bible first. Or at least you can pray first, because whatever you're doing, you can use your mouth and your heart to pray to God, right? And you can read your Bible as soon as you can. Take a Bible verse. Take anything, but feed your soul. Feed your soul. You'll be surprised when you start feeding your soul what God will do, what he will talk to you about. Spend some time, and then you can do all these other fun things you want to do. I mean, I enjoy my life every day. I enjoy, and I have family enjoy time. We're having Thanksgiving, all the family coming over and coming early. I'm excited about it all. And I know, but I want to talk to my Lord. I want to talk to Jesus. I want him to be with me every day. You know, he protects us. I want to go to the teacher, but like Bridget on the way to Monarch, I was praying, God, protect us. Help us. I was praying all the way, praying, and he did. He performed a miracle that I didn't hit Bridget's car. When she slammed on her brakes, because this other lady slammed on her brakes, and I had to go into the oncoming traffic. They could have hit me, but they went off the side of the road. I don't know how I survived, because God Almighty took my wheel. He took my wheel. It was shaking like everything. But he took my wheel and got me back in the road. Praise God! It could have been a catastrophe, but God didn't let it. Thank the Lord. He was so good. He was so good. That was a recent thing. I don't know if I told you all this, but right after I had COVID, I just got well a week or so. We were going to meet the girls up there by Shawnee to have a little lunch with them from Tulsa. They met us there. And it wasn't Shawnee, but it was somewhere up there. But on the way in the van, a big limb, it wasn't just a limb, it was like a tree, a small tree. It hit the van, and I had my head up on the window, you know, kind of resting. And I had my purse there first, and I laid the purse down. I was just kind of laying in the back seat. And that hit the side of that van, and it was like 2 inches from my head. Didn't break the glass, but it dented the van all up. And I thought, you know, I just survived COVID. I could have my head all cut. You know, could have killed me. And the Lord, he spoke to me. He says, no, I had a dream. I had a dream after that. I had bandage all over my head, and I was in a hospital. And they said, we can't save your life. And I was saying goodbye to Jerry. I believe God was showing me, if I let my hand, that could have happened to you. Or it could have happened to someone else. It could have happened to Rhonda. She was the driver. But you, God, spares our life, because we're on the winning side, because we pray to God. Dear ones, we got to pray for safety. We got to pray that God will bless us so we can work for him. Give us strength. Oh, I praise God. I want to thank him. I know I'm interjecting some things here. But it's wonderful how we want to thank and praise him for all the things he's done for us. We want to testify of all the things he's done for. I wouldn't want to hurt Bridget. I would rather die than hurt Bridget. I'm just telling you. I went, and I don't say that without just a flighty statement. But I went into this oncoming traffic, and I just knew I had to go. I could not hit Bridget. But you know, God spared my life anyway. Praise God! It's a wonderful thing to know that God loves us, that he takes care of us. And not only just me, he takes care of you. You tell what the Lord's done for you. You tell what he's done for you, because I know he's taking care of you. He's done many miracles in our family. Praise God. So are we going to keep on the winning side? Yes. 1 Corinthians 9. We're just about done. I don't want to wear you out tonight. But I want to encourage you to stay on the winning side. You know, the preachers back there in Brother Warner's, they used to preach 2 hours. 2 hours. I don't know if I can preach. I might could preach 2 hours if the Lord was in it. But I don't know if you'd want to sit there for 2 hours anymore. People don't want to sit and listen that long. It's hard for them. We need to have mercy on the people. Have mercy, but we get all excited. We're up here, we're all excited. But anyway, 1 Corinthians, I am so happy tonight. Praise God. I want to be on the winning side. Know ye not that they which run, 9:24, in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know someone that runs a race, they said they, what do? They deny themselves. They eat the right foods. They exercise. They run, get their bodies in shape. They do all these things to win a corruptible crown. But I want you to run, Jesus wants you to run a spiritual race to receive an incorruptible crown. Like Sister Darlene said, a golden city. He wants you to win that kind of crown. Praise God. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Do you know, saints, we've got to keep our body under. We've got to keep our flesh under. We've got to keep thoughts under. We've got to fight a spiritual warfare. We're not in something where we're going to be lazy about this. We've got to fight spiritually. As a soldier in serried ranks, do bravely fight. We got to be good soldiers for Jesus. You pray for me. I want to encourage you tonight to stay on the winning side, be on the winning side, get on the winning side. If you're not on the winning side, get on it, stay on it, and make heaven your home. There's nobody can take it away from you but you. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us to encourage ourselves and be faithful. Pray for me. Thank you for your attention.